I appreciate the good words that Brother Ken spoke before his prayer and the words of his prayer. And we're going to go in a little different direction than I had at first planned this evening. I was going to take you to the last part of Acts chapter 17. Please don't turn there. But one of the reasons you may have noticed in our bulletins, I have relented, and I always have the Sunday morning sermon decided ahead of time, at least the title of it. But Sunday evening, I've decided to keep open for this very reason. You never know what might happen. And I got to thinking, when you mentioned the power of prayer, that aside from the general concept of that being true, and the fact that all of us as God's people need to be continually praying, that's especially the case right now. And so if you have a moment, you might turn with me to 1 Timothy and chapter 2. We'll be there in just a moment and deal with some matters Paul talks about there in 1 Peter chapter 2. Now you remember that James talks about in the last chapter of that book bearing his name, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's always been the case. That's why Paul tells the Colossian brethren to continue in prayer and to watch in the same with thanksgiving. That's why Paul says pray without ceasing to the Thessalonian brethren. That's why Paul so often will encourage his readers, pray for me, and reminds them I am praying for you and tells them what he's praying on their behalf. Jesus one time told a parable with the preamble in the scripture that he taught men always to pray and not faint. And the idea goes back even before the time of our Lord's flesh. You might remember that Samuel's mother is known as Samuel's mother because Samuel was Samuel because his mother Hannah prayed fervently. And God heard her prayer. Daniel was in the lion's den because of his belief in prayer. Well, if you'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, as you're there probably already, I'll read with you the first few verses of this chapter. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. An interesting phrase at first there is this phrase, first of all. Paul uses language like this in 1 Corinthians 15, describing the gospel. I delivered to you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died upon the cross, died for our sins, in fact, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. This gospel message of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ is first, not just in its order of things, but in its primacy, in its importance. Before everything else, there's nothing more important to our lives now than the gospel. There's nothing more important to our preaching than the gospel. That's why Paul will say in Galatians chapter 6, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is of first importance. Well, that same phrase is here in the reading we just had a moment ago. Paul's desire is of first importance, of primacy, of absolute necessity above all else. And you might think, well, you've got my attention, Paul. What's the one thing I need to be doing? The one thing I need to be about? I mean, he could talk about church attendance, and if he's the writer of Hebrews, I think he was, he does in the 10th chapter. But that's not of first importance. He could talk about having the right kind of language with one another and not being bitter and upsetting and even vengeful in our language. We should speak words of encouragement, edification, like Barnabas, the son of such. But he doesn't say that. Important as that is, it's not of first importance. First of all, he says, we should pray. Not as a matter of last resort or second thought, but a matter of second nature and first importance. And he describes these prayers as being supplications, prayers, and intercessions. Now, we understand the word prayer, a general entreaty toward heaven. Supplication is a deep and almost visceral word. To supplicate. It's a word that has to do with submission, yes, but a submission that is pleading. We might even say begging. From a position of lack, a position of need, a position of extreme deference and humility, submissively you plead for some superior to offer something you can't have without that superior's well wishes in your direction. Well, that's exactly our position to heaven. Even though God has given us such great access to himself through Jesus Christ, and we can enter boldly into the throne of grace, as the writer of Hebrews says in the last verse of chapter 4. We're never so cavalier in our prayers to think that somehow we're talking side to side or nose to nose, eye to eye with God as if we're equals. In fact, when we need something, we know we need something. We can't supply ourselves. We are supplicating. We're begging. We're beseeching the Lord to hear us, especially in matters of tremendous interest and concern and sometimes even angst and anxiety we have in our hearts. Supplications, prayers, and then the word intercessions is given. It's one thing to pray for ourselves, and we should. Jesus encourages in Matthew chapter 6 in the model prayer to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Nothing wrong with praying for yourself. But also we should be interested in praying for others. And you heard that in Brother Ken's prayer this evening, praying for others, interceding. That means to speak in behalf of, on behalf of another. Christ intercedes for us. The Spirit intercedes for us. We intercede for one another. The same word is used for all. Now, Christ is in a special position there because he doesn't just intercede, but he advocates for us in a way that we never can. He's at God's right hand, and we aren't. But still, we are given the wonderful privilege of speaking to God not just for us, but on behalf of those we care most about. And so, given the nature and the power of prayer, Paul encourages that before everything else, these supplications, these prayers, these intercessions should be made for everybody, for all men. But then he narrows it down just a bit. For kings and all who are in authority. If you've been watching the news lately, you by now are exasperated and exhausted and absolutely confused and confounded. I was telling somebody just a moment ago, we were trying to figure out what's going on and what it means and what could happen next. And I've said what I've said a number of times over the last year or two, and more so the last few months. It's a mess. It doesn't matter which angle you're looking at it from. It's a mess. It doesn't matter what party you are supporting. It's a mess. It doesn't matter what you see as what might happen next. It's just a mess. And so what do? Well, we don't burn buildings down. We don't do that. And we surely don't shoot one another. We know that. I was telling somebody in private, but I don't think I've ever said this publicly, but I remember the night that JFK was assassinated. And Dad had a meeting that night. And he took the family over. It wasn't too far from the house. It was over in Missouri somewhere. And the man who got up to lead the prayer, the first of that meeting, he started out in the opening prayer by saying, "Lord, you know we didn't like that man. But help us all to know it wasn't right to shoot him." Well, I think we can agree it's not right to shoot. And so what do? Well, we pray. First of all, we pray for kings, for all who are in authority. That would include congressmen. That includes senators. That includes presidents. It includes vice presidents. We pray for those in authority with prayers of supplication, prayers of intercession. But what comes next is, I think, most important for us in terms of not just time, but the time we live in now. What do you pray for? Well, Lord, I pray my man wins. That's not what this says. I pray my folks come out on top. It doesn't say that. I pray that most people will agree with me and vote just like I do. It doesn't say that. Pray that somehow we might be able, as Christian people, to lead a quiet and peaceable life. And that when all is said and done, God's desire and His will for us might be known, and that more and more people might come to a knowledge of the truth. And those two things are linked together. The word has more free course when we're more free to speak it. Those who are in a position to be able to hear the word are more likely to respond to it. And for that to happen, at best, we just ask, give us a quiet, peaceable life. Not where we're all out and militant in our business, or turning things over in the process of getting our way, or doing what we think is best for our cause. But just give us a quiet and peaceable life where we can speak the cause and the word of Christ in a way that might influence others without being squelched or stopped by any opposing, even government forces. Give us a quiet and peaceable life. And as I said, it's important how you get to that point. Because sometimes we need to take one half step back from where we are right now and revisit what we just visited a moment ago. How do you get to a quiet and peaceable life? And some say, I know how to get there. We just eradicate the enemy. We just, by whatever means, we make sure we win. And then we can, having done that, having completely destroyed the enemy, we can then sit back in our easy chairs and live a quiet and peaceable life. And if that were even possible, practically, all we'd be doing then is sitting back and saying, look what we did. Look what wonderful people we are. Look what we've accomplished. Instead, in every case in history, when all's been said and done and right has won, the people that are blessed by the right being done have to admit, God did this, not us. God was at work, not us. And thus, His will always be done, not ours. As I say, if you've been paying attention, you know that the news has been fast and furious. 1 week ago tonight, we were all talking about just one thing and one thing only. Did you know somebody took a shot at the president? Took off part of his ear. Kind of a Malchus kind of a situation, except his wasn't put back on. Well, you think that'd occupy the news cycle, but no, it didn't take long until we were on other matters. And here we are a week later, just 1 week later, and not the man who was shot at, but the other one, now in office, came out and said, by the way, I'm not running anymore. Unprecedented times. And I know we're interested in these things. I am too. We talk about these things. You better believe I do too. We have opinions about all of this. I do as well. But I remind us all, the first thing we need to do is pray about it. And keep praying about it. The next time you read through the major, and especially the minor prophets of the Old Testament, pay attention to how much of the prophet's words are given to the people. And then what percentage of words are given in the people's hearing pleading to God? So much of the words are supplications to God and intercessions for the people to God that God might hear. What does Paul do so often in his epistles? He beseeches the God of heaven for a better understanding of his readers. He intercedes for them in their behalf they might be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. This is what's laid out before us as examples of scripture. And that's precisely what Paul is talking about here. Which brings us back as we close. And this is a shorter lesson, I know, than usual. But I'd like to have a shorter lesson with perhaps more punch than a longer lesson that means almost nothing that nobody remembers. But back to the first. This is of first importance. We are misled as Christians these days in thinking that the most important thing we can do is get out and vote. I plan to vote. I do. And I believe that's my civic duty. I believe that's my spiritual duty as a citizen. Somebody might have a different opinion on that. That's well and good for them and their conscience. But that's not the first thing I can do. That's not the most important thing I can do. That's not the most powerful thing I can do. The first and most important thing I can do is pray and keep on praying. Every day. Pray for the leaders and the powers that be are ordained of God, the scripture tells us. God puts kings in, he takes kings out. The Old Testament teaches us that. Just ask Nebuchadnezzar about that. Pray for those in charge that by whatever means, God knows his plan, we don't. God works things out beyond our understanding. We don't have to see all the nuts and bolts of it, but ask that in some way those in charge might, when the dust clears and all is settled, might leave a landscape where those of us as Christians might have a quiet and peaceable life, to be able to continue proclaiming God's message so more and more can come to know the truth, which is God's desire for everybody. The long and short of it, brethren, pray and keep praying. This evening, if you're outside of Christ or an erring member, please come together now as we stand and sing.